Hello everyone, and thanks for joining us on our series of conversations with Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello everyone, hello Nitza, hello. And we are trying to learn from Dr. Lightman, how can we bring our life to a good place? And here in Israel, the public in Israel, maybe we can sum up the bad things in our life in two things. One of the things that, like a black cloud over our happiness, is the Iranian threat and the results that can come from an attack in Iran that will ignite a Middle East war that will influence all aspects of life. And let's say that in the last 1-2 years, very bad social economical situation is developing from month to month. We don't know what's going to happen. There are different decrees. And on our previous conversations, we talked about an ever-growing uncertainty. Not only that it's ever-growing, it's increasing. And from one month to the next, there are other realms in life that are added to it with different dangers. And maybe you would like, Nitza, maybe you can focus down this conversation. How should we develop it? So let's start with you telling us on the previous time, on the previous conversation about the truth that can interest anyone, humanity, any person, to know that there is such a possibility to be in balance with that higher force and even to influence my destiny. That is the desire of any person. I think that since ever humanity was searching for this. And you said that this is really the time for the revelation when we have now this ability. But there's some kind of forces that we have to balance in order to succeed in influencing our destiny. You talked about two forces, the good and the bad force, and the bad force is dominating the world now, the force that destroys and separates and brings all the problems and difficulties that we encounter in Israel and all over the world. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Everyone spoke about it since the beginning of time. The problem is that to this day we didn't succeed in, we've never dealt with it seriously. Always, everyone and plenty of people in all generations and all times said that humanity has to reach reciprocal bestowal, love. And humanity, it advanced every time in the opposite direction to exploit the evil, the force of evil, and to advance with this force. So, until we have reached a state where we are already destroying Earth. It's not some evil here, something's bad there, maybe here it'll be better or whatever, but in general, we're destroying Earth. And now that we're talking about it, let's come to something good. Even now that we're talking about it, we see that we can do it. Because of the lack of connection between us, lack of connection between all people, we can't. If in the past we only thought or had to believe all these sensitive, unique people who said that that influencing one's own destiny could come only if we come closer to one another. And today we see this from nature's blows, from the social blows, that the lack of connection between us causes destruction. Social destruction, our attitude to nature, that we're destroying ecology, our attitude, the attitude between us, where we're no longer just a few hundreds, one against the other, fighting each other with guns. But today we have A-bombs. And in short, everything we do, it's all as a result of this evil from our ego, that the more it grows, we're only treating it, how to use it, how to exploit it to the fullest. So we see that we're constantly approaching worse and worse situations. And those same people that here and there used to say that, yes, we need to unite, and yes, we have to do something, today they are barely heard. In the past, there were philosophers, people who were engaged in the different problems of the world. Today, you can barely hear about it. Even though that on behalf of science itself, we have proof that if human society was balanced reciprocally, would have caused good in the whole of reality, where nature balance would have also influenced us positively. Our balance with nature, the world is integral, the world is global, where we influence each other and so on. Obviously that in this situation, we have to be in a connection where the good and the bad are balanced. Not that it's better, maybe that's a dream where the better is bigger, but at least balanced. If we take Earth and the still in its matter, in its vegetative, and the animate living on it, and humanity, if we take all of that in one, as one unanimous system, and we call it the eco-environment that includes everyone together, then according to all of our researches and all of our rationale, we see that the secure life can be only on condition that these parts will be in reciprocal balance. In reciprocal balance, they can be... It's not a state where no one touches the other. Everyone uses the other, but for the basic necessities. If a wolf has to eat the sheep, he eats it necessarily because for his basic needs and no more than that. If he is satiated, if the wolf is satiated, it can be together with that sheep, not touching it. We see that nature guides animals instinctively that way, not simply bringing harm to others. Besides man, where even though he gets all the different fulfillments for existence, wanting to get out of everyone surplus limitlessly, and by that, he is the destructive component in nature. And that man, in his destructive part, not in the part necessary to exist, we have to balance it. Otherwise, the shock that we create as a result, it really threatens the existence of everyone. And again, we hear all the beautiful words that we need to love each other, that we have to be in reciprocity, we have to keep nature, and so on. Everything's great. But where will we take that from? Even if we want to do it, well, where will we take the force to do it? Who can give me the force of good like I got from nature, from birth. Really, from the very first moment that I'm in life. The force of evil. I'm ready to balance myself. Please, give me something good. What can I do in order to do that? Right? And here comes a method which necessarily is present in our Torah. Not for us to keep all of these laws and what we should keep among the people, but the part of the Torah that speaks about the relations between man and his friend. And the Torah promises that if you unite, if you'll try to unite. Try to unite as one man, in one heart, in love, in brotherly love, and love another as thyself. And the different forms of connection, try. And necessarily you, the people of Israel, that your existence back then before the destruction of the temple was based on it. This was the condition. You'll succeed. Do it. The nations of the world will not succeed, and you will. Because you have this attitude. It's in your genes. And it's being passed on from one generation to the next. If you do it, then you will neutralize any force of evil, and then these two forces will be balanced. You need the force of evil as well, but for it to be balanced with the force of good. About the balance, life is built on the balance between these two forces. There's no good without bad, and no bad without good. And this method as to how to unite, it's called the integral education. Integral meaning general, comprehensive education in order to unite. The wisdom of unity, you might call it. By the wisdom of unity, it's in math. It's a small part for mathematics that kids study, or in language, where you learn how to put together letters. They can, you know, misinterpret it. But really, it is the wisdom of unity, of connection. It's a psychological, scientific method working with the forces that exist in a person. How to cause him to take actions of unity, how through the actions of unity that he will take, he will cause himself special sensitivity toward unity itself. How through this sensitivity he will discover the use in connection. When he'll discover the use of connection, its benefits, he'll want to connect with others in different forms. And the more forms that he'll connect with people in, he'll have over himself and over his environment. Out of that environment, out of that unity, he will project that force of unity on others. And this way, each shall help the other. And we will reach a state where instead of the evil force, where each wants to eat off the other, he'll want to give the other. And by that, we will balance our nature. And if so, then really, maybe we'll reach a state of being a nation. We're in our basis, we're a nation that's connected, interconnected, and we're not simply living in borders that we've escaped our enemies, and we're like a kind of a herd that's really together. Because of the fear of, wolves surrounding it. So let's start talking about unity and see how in a few days, a week or two, even less, a few days after we start talking about unity, how we are in control of our destiny, how we change reality, because really, we start balancing the evil force by the good force. By this, we convey ourselves from the force of evil to the force of good, from the scale of demerit to the scale of merit. It doesn't cost us any money. By this, we calm down all of the forces all of the evil forces. We calm down the nation, the people. We acquire a sense of security. We don't lose anything. We merely have to transcend a bit the indifference, the disrespect of such a thing. But we have to understand that we're engaged here not with something small in our life or in nature or something lowly, but with the greatest force, the force of the ego and the force that's against it, the force of unity. And this is why it doesn't seem to us so important, because it's not in these corporeal, despised senses of ours. Not for as a result of the lowliness that exists in the bad and the good, but from their height, the height of the good and the bad that's above our own head. Let's understand here that we're talking about the two forces of nature here, plus and minus, that only these two forces exist and control nature. And if we study them on the still level, where it's plus and minus, electron, positron, if we're talking about inhaling and emitting, if we're talking about on the vegetative level, an animate level, but everything's built on plus and minus on these two forces. And if there's disbalance, then that component in nature is ill, and by its illness it causes disbalance in the rest of nature. And if we're talking about the whole of the world connected the way we discover it to be now, then of course each causes the other by a greater balance. It influences everyone, and on the human level we can balance ourselves only through being engaged in unity or separation. Because man, it means not our body, because our body, it belongs to the animate world, but the human part in us is the awareness, the consciousness. So in the conscious part, I have the ability to constantly, through my feelings, through my mind, above the living level, to use others for the better or for the worse. And then I have to see how everything's built in nature to begin with, to be balanced. And then too, on my level, I have to understand that we have free choice here and bring ourselves to balance. And by this I realize the human part in me, my human level. And how to do it? Please, there's a method that tells us how to do it, how to create an integral connection, unity between us. And there's a million different kinds of proof on behalf of nature today that specifically balance between us will cause a good influence in all realms of life and everything. This is eventually the problem in our connection with children, with our spouse, at work, between countries, and everything. The only thing that we're lacking is unity. What are we engaged in here? We're always engaged throughout our whole life in connection or lack of connection. That's how it is. And the economics, the stock market, it's a projection of the relation between us. Who benefits more off whom? And we show lists. Look who's more successful in eating the others. So we have to balance that force. Not that we're against, but we have to balance things so it won't bring such a harm like we have today, like we're in such a great crisis and economics and the finance world that's threatening us. We've given the negative force to do whatever it feels like in the world without balancing it with the positive force. So all in all, we're talking about balance. When you're talking about these two forces of good and bad, I feel that there's a need for another discernment here, because a person internally has a different definition for good and bad. When do I feel good? When I win? When I get something? When do I feel bad? When it's the opposite, when someone else gets something, or not necessarily when I didn't succeed or I didn't get something, meaning I have a different definition of good and bad here myself. And here you're talking about good and bad in different terms of connection and separation. Were you always such a bad girl, or did you become like that only now? I think that when I was a child, my mom always told me, be a good kid. What does it mean to be a good kid? Tell me, what did she mean by it? Be a good kid means don't hit others, don't take his toys, play nicely together, right or not? Yes. And what are you telling me now? What's good? Hit him, take from him, what do you care? Succeed. Then you're not my mom. You don't want good things for me. But you have to remember that in the self-consciousness, meaning that we are in a bad world and our education is bad and it causes us harm. I'm like a small child taking to the street, and I already have big toys, and I can harm anyone, and eventually I harm others and harm myself. I don't hear my mother wanting something good for me, wanting my benefit. It's a problem. I'd like to return us a moment to the feeling we had here in Israel. We're saying that the equation for success, for a good future, is balancing the evil and the good forces. The question is whether the balance of the bad force, the force of evil, can work only in this country in order to bring peace and compromise and balance here, and maybe decreasing of economical gaps between the rich and the poor, make things easier for everyone. Or you say that what you're saying is that building some kind of a good attitude between people here in Israel can also influence the Iranian threat, suppose that symbolizes for us today the force of evil. The balance between good and bad influences everything, because these are the two forces of nature under which everything exists, the whole of nature on all levels, and all the more human society, and all the more Israel, because we are the owners of the method. We always existed due to more or less balance of good and bad, more or less. The moment we brought this balance between the good and the bad, when we had love, unity, and we fell from that into unfounded hatred, we brought harm upon ourselves. We lost the country, we lost ourselves. We really felt into exile. Today we have an opportunity, specifically by the world being in a bad state, to create a connection between us and to take advantage of this situation, of this evil that is revealed in the world, in order to balance it, to balance the evil. And by that we will reach not only keeping our, making sure that no war breaks out or something, but we can raise ourselves to another level of existence, not to be in threatened by our neighbors. Okay, we don't want to be threatened. What do you say? Use the force of balance in nature. Who are all these nations? Who is this Ahmadinejad, the poor guy? It is a person who is developing an A-bomb and he wants to erase us from the map. Why is he doing it? Because the force of evil in reality is prevailing over the good in humanity. In him it's evident. No, there's simply those that speak less. I wouldn't say that he's the worst. So what do we do about him? Not about him, about us. But he's the one threatening me that we have a problem here. It's the little problems, but when there is an external threat, the inside problems, they become small. Listen to what Achaemenid said, that you have to erase the Jews from the map because they are cancer. So what is he telling you? That where is the evil force in the world? We are Israel. Okay, so listen to what he says. So what does that mean? I don't know. Ah, you don't know. So listen to what he says, and that Israel is a cancer that you have to erase from the map of the world, the root of all evil. True? True that in today's situation, this is what we cause? I don't get it. The world is balanced. In its basis, it's balanced. And all of the evil that exists in the world now, it exists because we're not balancing it. Who's we? Israel. We're not harming anyone. We don't want to harm anyone. We don't want to threaten anyone. Yeah, but I believe Ahmadinejad. I don't. I don't believe him. It's a shame. It's a shame. I'll tell you why. It necessitates you. No, not that it necessitates me. He is delusional, wanting to harm others. I don't want to harm anyone. He is together with all the nations of the world. Everyone agrees with him that Israel is the source of all problems in the world. Okay, it's a well-known anti-Semitic perception. Not anti-Semitic, it's a world perception. I'm sorry. You have 7 billion people in the world besides Israel, and also not sure, so sure how many of them, that have the same opinion that the people of Israel, the way they're called now, the people of Israel, is the harmful part of the world. They're all under one opinion. Eventually everyone thinks that. So what? Why don't you listen to them? So what do I do about that? And you come out like an idiot saying, I want to love you, I want to be good to you. Look how why am I doing any bad? Yes, you are doing bad. And I agree with them. Okay, so they want us to disperse from here. No, it's not enough. We were already scattered among the nations. So what do you agree with? I do not agree with the people of Israel remaining in their current state. But necessarily, if in the current state we will see a challenge, the reason, what necessitates us to change and be the force of good in the world instead of the force of evil. How are we the force of evil? What they say didn't necessarily make my internalize this. They're saying it for dozens of years. So what? I don't understand what bad are we do we do to the world. We won all the Nobel Prizes. And what did you develop? Science that's destroying ecology. You didn't do anything. That you developed Hollywood. What did you do? By your brains, you brought destruction, and you're proud about it. What did Israel give to the world that the Achaemenid or others say? It's not necessarily so. Look, I am a person that besides seeing the forces and the disbalance or their balance, possible balance, and so on, I read what it says in the Torah. And in the Torah it says that Israel are actually, they actually caused the whole world either to be in the state of good or to be in the state of bad. That they have a connection with this, with a force of faith, with the higher force. They have something called Torah. They're the only ones who have free choice, that only they really determine the situation in the world, and the whole world agrees with it. That's what's interesting. Besides Israel, the whole world says that you cause all the harm in the world. How? Since you're separated, since you're not united, since you're not as one man and one heart. I never heard this from any person in the world. Ahmadinejad is not saying that. He says that if you're here, maybe if you'll be united, will be an even greater problem. That you're here, that's already a problem. So I'm telling you, the only thing, don't listen to Ahmadinejad in one thing. If you'll die, the world will be better off. I'm telling you that if you won't die, if you change, if you cause the people of Israel, that are called the people of Israel and the land of Israel, if you'll bring connection between them, you will be good in the eyes of Ahmadinejad. How? Because by this you will be the positive force. Now you're worse than the nations of the world. How? By being in the force of your ego, and you have to be in the force of the good. I don't get it. You probably think that you're like all other nations. How is the Israeli nation worse off than any other nation in the world? Because all the nations of the world are not necessitated to be good. I don't understand why the Israeli public is worse than any other country. On the contrary, of course, the only problem is that they have to be good, and those don't. The nations don't. You don't hear. No, I don't. I don't think I understood it. Please repeat the explanation. I don't get it. The Israeli public is worse than other nations? No, they're not worse, because I don't see them being worse. No. Okay, so what are they? They are obligated to be good, and the nations aren't. You can add that he got the Torah, that he wanted, that they wanted, necessitated. That's it. In short, they must, they have to. They got an awakening, the point in the heart from Babylon. Doesn't matter how you put it. The Israelis have to be good and they're not good enough. This is what you're saying? They are bad compared to how they're supposed to be. They are the worst. They're opposite to it. And by that cause all the disbalance in the world. Imagine the following. You have all the nations of the world. They're all egoists. And you have the people of Israel that are also egoists. The addition of the people of Israel to the rest of the nation causes the whole world to be bad. The people of Israel that correct themselves and shift themselves to a scale of merit, it means that they take themselves and the whole world to the scale of merit. I don't think I get it. What I understand is, look, okay, I have a different explanation. I have two kids. One of them, God forbid, he's undeveloped. He's retarded. The other child, bright, smart. The first child with that's retarded. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's breaking things, making a mess at home, and I go and clean after him all the time. The other child, the bright one, the smart one, the brilliant one, he does such problems at home, cunningly, such problems that I can't identify them in advance, and his harm is many folds greater. And the situation at home is horrible, because with the poor child that has an illness, somehow I get along with him, I have to help him. But what do I do about the smart one? He's growing all the time, and he's doing the whole mess at home. What do I do with him? Please tell me. To teach him, is it possible to teach him? Yes, through blows, if he doesn't understand a good word. Yes, through blows. If he is a good if he'll be a good child, I'll have a problem. But if he'll be good, then he'll help me solve this problem as well with his brother. Do you understand what it means, an obligation? What's the moral? The moral that you must, on behalf of nature, you Israel, must behave differently than all the nations of the world, not taking an example from them, being better than them. Not being better, but not taking an example from them at all. To be better, it means that you look at them and you're a bit more than them. Don't take an example from them at all. But to be in connection between you, all the people of Israel are friends, up to the point of love another as thyself. It's a must. Don't look at anyone else. That's it. By that, you take yourself and the whole world to a scale of merit. If you do not do it, everyone suffers, and everyone suffers, and you suffer, and there is hatred, sometimes more, sometimes less. There are pogroms, there's a Holocaust, and you know, and so on and so forth. But there comes a time that the world starts suffering so badly, they see themselves to such an extent under the existential threat, what we have today. This is something that the world feels, and more every moment. Who's to blame the part that can balance the world? And if that part does not do, what do? You take it and you necessitate it. This is what will come to us now unless we succeed in understanding that we have a task. You have no choice. Now, we needn't wait till the blows necessitate us to do something. We won't cause our complete destruction. We won't. We have a role. We'll have to reach the finish line for sure. But how? This is why we have to start explaining, disseminating. Go out on this mission, but you have no choice. This is what you have to tell the people of Israel, that they have to unite. They have to reach a reciprocal connection. In the time being, give them all the different possible wrappings that you'll feel good, you'll succeed, and on the stock market, diamonds, oil, food, whatever. But you have to cause them to come closer to unity. And this way, bit by bit, by acquiring a certain flavor in connection, then you start talking to him more clearly, higher, in a more appealing fashion. That is the matter of education, which you do gradually. You start from that state that a person begins. This very first point of contact is hard because a person is in a state, but there is a reason, and there is the ability to reach him because he's afraid. Afraid of what? Of bombs. So what do you tell him? So here I have to see which I have to find some sentences that will connect between the unity and how to say, and the annihilation of the bombs. I have to find the connection between the two. So that's the question. This connection is something that is not there. Call it an upper force, call it however. Whether Ahmadinejad will press the button or not depends on the extent to which we will be connected between us and a good desire. I can pull here different scientists with different proof. Maybe it influences a bit. I can bring the Torah here and our history with different nice quotations. We can put pressure on the psychological part of people here, that like a herd, we want to unite if there is a threat, and each person wants to be in the center of this herd as much as he can, to be as far as he can from the wolves that surround him. But eventually, there is a kind of a component here that the connection between Ahmadinejad and our connection, our unity, is a system that is I can't see it. It's hidden from me. Now the question. When is a person willing to hear about it? If he hears and we're capable of passing it on to him on the very first steps of the threat, then we suffer a bit. We were lacking some cottage, place to live, and so on. If it's a bit more, the prices start rising. If it's a bit more, we start having problems on our borders with Egypt. If something else, we'll have problems with the Hezbollah in Lebanon and in Sinai and so on. A bit more, then what can you do? It all depends on the extent to which we succeed in our dissemination, in bringing the people with the feeling, the understanding that their connection is necessary. And if not, the situation will deteriorate greatly. Only we have to be careful. To what extent? I can't tell them that the people of Israel will completely become like Auschwitz. I can't say that. Because then they'll simply reject me altogether. But as much as people are willing to hear. So I don't understand. What do we agree on here? What do we start with? Start explaining. What? Let's unite. Yes. We'll feel good. Yes. And also Ahmadinejad will calm down. Not that he'll come down. He'll come here to us. Or let's simply unite and we'll feel good. It all depends on the level of understanding they're in. On. And specifically in the most critical times, the least rational things are heard better. Know that. It's a psychological law. And our enemies know how to use it. And everything. One killed the other. They say, Israel did it. They said it. That's it. You can't do anything about it. You know, it's like the joke with Rabbi and his daughter. That that a person yells at someone, you know, that your daughter is a prostitute, but he tells everyone, look, I don't have a daughter. He says, no, it doesn't matter. That's it. People already heard it. That's already something that they heard and perceived. Complete lack of rationale. No proof. No, that's it. It was said. The same with us, with our explanation. The more you give in this kind of situation, the less rational things you say, they're truth, but not for him. They're not truth for him because he doesn't see the connection between Ahmadinejad and the connection between us. It'll be heard. He has nothing else to lean on. Nothing. There's nothing else to rely on. But for the time being, we have to explain with all of our strength in all realms, from all realms, history and Torah and connection and here and there, scientists that speak about the global world, the connection between the different things, about everything. I think that through science it is very clear because we are a part of nature. What's clear? It's clear that if we unite, we'll cause unity in nature, all of us. I'm talking about the whole of humanity, only the problem, it's upon us, the people of Israel, that if the whole of humanity unites and will be in balance, that's utopia. I'm not talking to you about utopia. I'm not talking about your ability. I'm talking to you about the system. If so, suppose... No, you don't understand my question. I'm sorry. You're not relating to it like a person, like a thinking person. What thinking person? I look at it from the side of the public. What public? I'm looking at the world as a scientist. At what? At the whole of nature? And you see that the whole of humanity is going to unite? No, the still vegetative, animate, and the speaking part is in disbalance with nature, and it causes everything to be destroyed in ecology and everything in the atom world war and everything. We are headed for destruction in a few years, if not before. So I have nothing to worry about. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. However, what do I see on the other hand? What can cause balance and abundance, and so that the whole of nature will return to a situation where, you know, it's going to be like Switzerland all over the world, or I don't know how, in Scandinavia, wherever, or on the, I don't know where, Mediterranean, whatever convenient for you. In short, it's going to be so good in the world, and the world will have everything. It's possible if human society will be in balance inside it, and also by that balance inside it, through the good and nice connection, they will also relate nicely to nature. They won't take more than they need for their existence, and then everything will be balanced. So the problem is human society. How to balance them, how to make them be in reciprocity, connection and separation, for there to be the power of connection and separation, for them to be balanced. So, for it to be clear for us that as a result things will be good. Okay, that's clear. Only humanity is incapable. That's clear as well. Okay, so we see that that's how it is all over the world. True? True. Why shouldn't we, the people of Israel, that suffers on this miserable piece of land called the Holy Land, besides sand, I don't see anything here. Why the people of Israel that are here and are in trouble, trouble like there is no other place in the world, there is no other country in the world that everyone wants to eat, there is no other country in the world that depends so much on everyone, that has nothing of its own. Nothing. Why won't the people of Israel keep this law itself without looking at the rest of the nations? Why not? If we see that this is what's necessary in order to be in peace and perfection with nature, let's do it. Besides that it says in our Torah and in our history and in the rationale that we eat each other, isn't it enough that they want to eat us from the outside? Let's keep that law only in our borders. Leave the whole world. What law? The law of reciprocal connection. What do you mean to keep that law? That everyone will take care of everyone, because we're like in Masada, out of which we can't come out, and everyone has to exist there, and only this way we can exist. What, that everyone will go to the army? What do you mean? I don't know. What do you mean by it? For them to relate to it that way. I'm not talking about how to break it down into practical things. For each one to treat the others like he treats himself in that direction, and a bit, taking others into consideration. By this we will be balanced with nature. By this we will keep what science tells us about. By this we will keep our historical demand. Like one scientist treats another scientist like he treats himself. No, it's not that they treat each other this way, but they determine that that's how it is. They're not the ones suffering. We're suffering, so let's keep it. There's someone who discovers this law, but he doesn't have to keep it because his ego doesn't necessitate him to do it. And it is beneficial for me to keep it because my situation necessitates me. I have no choice. If you have a choice, if you can escape, escape. If you can not keep it, don't. But I only want to evoke this point in you. Do you have a choice? After we finished with it, there's only one question left. Can we not keep it or not? Do you understand this? After we talked about it, if we talked about balance and that the whole world has to come into balance but doesn't do it, and we have to balance because we're in the worst possible situation, and if we come into balance, we'll feel good. Now, the only problem is to do or not to do. Do we have a choice? Do you have any other patent that has reinforcement on behalf of history and science and psychology and everything else? Do you have anything else? I'm willing to hear. You don't. So tell me, what do you lose by it? That it's against your ego. Right, true. But against that, but besides that? Besides that, what evil can it cause you? Besides that, you can also keep the oral Torah, no problem. That told you, don't be a bad kid, play nicely with others, bond with them, right? Yeah, but we're not small children. Yeah, that's the problem, that we're worse than they are. Because then maybe we could have listened to mom, but we didn't, like you did. And we forgot what mom told us. Now we have to listen, otherwise things will be bad. So let's get into balance, otherwise. Connect. What do you mean by connect? To connect, to bond. It means for all of us to feel that we're united, that we depend on each other, that I without you and you without me, we can't be saved. This we understand very well. In times of war, it's felt. We're not on the verge. Now it's an A war. It's not that you'll have in 2 months 39 missiles will fall on you, like with Saddam. It's not going to be that way. I was sitting there in Naybok. I counted them 1, 2, 3. I counted these missiles a mile from me, half a mile and a half. Let's unite. There's an existential threat to us. Yes, we have to unite. There's an existential threat. If we do not unite, we will not survive, like in Masada. Yes. This I don't know. Here, like Bala Salam says, you have to maybe have experts. So, experts won't help. I don't know. Maybe after you tell them these things and they're capable of understanding it, they can clothe in it, because eventually they too have to be on the part of the nation that listens to it. They have to help us. I don't feel that when missiles come, we unite. It's going to be too late, mister. So let's unite before the missiles come, in order for us not to have to unite when missiles come. Do you understand that it's an A-bomb? You won't have the in order for. If you unite before, after that, there's no one to unite. But don't frighten. You can make a clip. Your publicity clip, PR clip, where you started with an A explosion and nothing's left of Israel. You show a few bones saying this is what's left of your family. And this is how you'll start publicizing not the wisdom of Kabbalah, but the wisdom of unity, connection. You can't. Here you need professionalism. In short, we're back to the message of Let's Unite. This message, we never left it. We're only constantly trying to scrutinize how do we penetrate it into the nation. We say about this, Let's Unite, that these are empty words and that's it. That's what people say. You know why? Because everyone is in favor. 100% vote. Let's Unite, everyone will. So break it down into pieces so people understand what it means. So please break it down into pieces, explain. It's like you tell someone, let's unite. It's like Teflon. Doesn't, okay, great, let's. I'd have a workshop with them, with the Israeli audience. Workshop for all audience, suppose, right? Suppose. Or prime time, all channels. What's on that workshop? To cause them and see each other. And the first question is, how can we persuade ourselves that through unity we will be able to drive away the threat of war? Let's talk about it. Let's see proof positively for us to really be able to be saved from the threat of war. You'll see how suddenly a person brings out of himself such proof that he himself did not think of. And when he hears it from others and through television, you can, do it, or you can selectively, nicely do it for it to influence everyone. You will get 1,000 different proofs, 1,000,000 proofs that unity can save us. Where does it come from? As a result of them already uniting on the workshop. So they already come from that unity between them. They didn't aim at that, but as a result of sitting together and talking, they come to the understanding of unity, and suddenly they start speaking on that same wavelength. Can we feel a special force that awakens between us? What is this force? What could it be? Start talking only positively, that they're already in that. Only one small step left. Why? Because you have to give him some kind of a space to work, to exert. And then he takes this small drop and says a few sentences, but when he exerted himself in the second and the third, suddenly you discover warmth, reciprocity, friends, that they're interconnected. That's it. There's only already a kind of connection between them. He goes home and leaves here part of his own. This way you raise in a person the sensitivity of explaining that there is a connection between people and that this connection is a force. A force. Special force, and this force can be positive, the force of bestowal, and it is capable of conquering, defeating the force of reception, the ego. And by that, we take the whole world to a scale of merit for the better. From the previous state, which was all bad, and from that feeling that the whole world had the feeling of minus, they will now come to the feeling of plus. May it be so, with God's help. Our time is up. On our future conversations, we'll continue developing this. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you very much, everyone. Until the next time, all the best. Yeah.